Hello, this is Joanna, and welcome back. We are on class three, training number three of the Home Study Activation course for the Sacred Depths Coach Training. And today's training is a really, really rich one. I'm very excited to share it with you. Today we're looking at part one of creating awareness for your clients. I usually teach creating awareness for your clients as a three-class module, but for the Home Study course, we'll be diving into the first part of this very important topic, which is all about how to reflect the truth to your clients in ways where they will actually learn from their blind spots. So what is creating awareness? And why is creating awareness so important? Well, it's pretty simple and obvious, but like so much of what we've been looking at together in this training, there are subtleties to it that are really important. So creating awareness is literally the act of supporting your client to see something about themselves and their situation that they were not previously able to see, or to support your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves or their situation that they weren't previously able to acknowledge or accept, or to support your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about him or herself or her situation, something that will help them become more confident, more clear, more able, or more open. When you support your clients in creating awareness, one of the things that you're doing is helping your client to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply. Because when you create that awareness, it allows the both of you, coach and client, literally to hold space and to see your client more clearly, to hold her in that seeing, her seeing of herself more clearly. Creating awareness can support clients to see their blind spots, their patterning. It can help them to see maybe their achievements that they haven't been able to see, or their gaps and their weaknesses that they just haven't been aware of. Creating awareness can help clients see their unknown obstacles. It can help clients really be able to see their talents that they haven't been acknowledging, just wonderful talents about them that they haven't, brilliances that they haven't seen, or their truest desires. Or sometimes creating awareness can help clients see their next answers to their questions, like the solutions that they need to see. Creating awareness can sometimes help create a breakthrough in an instant. So take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. If somebody, a coach of yours, a friend, a colleague, a family member, has reflected something about you back to you. And in that instant, as they were reflecting it, or soon thereafter, it's like so much awareness was created, you could see so much. There was an instant breakthrough. It's probably happened to you at least once to be on the receiving end of that. So that's happened to me a number of times, and I wanna just share two examples because I think it will help illustrate the power of this. So this first story goes back probably, 9 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, And I was still more of a baby business owner then. And I was on the phone with a new colleague. Somebody had connected us, and we had emailed once or twice, and it was the first time that we were actually on the phone, and we had a lovely conversation. We had this really great, beautiful, connected conversation, and at the end of the conversation, she said to me, you know, Joanna, this is the first time, you know, in this conversation that I'm really connecting with your energy. I have to tell you that up until now, you know, I've seen your photos, your headshots on your website, and they're, you know, like you're hiding from the camera, you're not looking straight at it, the clothing that you're wearing, like all of it, it just, to me, it doesn't reflect your energy at all. I'm so glad we were able to have this conversation, because I can really see now like who you are and what you're really about. And I'll share that, you know, when she first said that to me, the first place I went to was I got really hurt and really insulted. I mean, I didn't let her know in the moment, but internally I got really insulted because I was like, what's wrong with my headshots? What is she talking about? You know, I got defensive and I started feeling embarrassed and all of that. But I let that settle, and I sat with the information that she gave me, and then it was like just that little reflection, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I went back and I looked at my headshots, and I could see so clearly that even though I wanted so much to be more visible in my business through my message, I wanted to be visible on my website, you know, even though I wanted all of that, I looked at the headshot and I could see exactly all the ways that internally I was afraid and I was hiding, and it came through in that headshot that I was hiding. And then from there, that led me into so much discovery around, well, why am I scared of visibility? Why am I hiding? Why don't I want to be seen? It was a major, major, major revelation for me. And then, of course, I was able to bring, you know, so much of that fear of being seen, those revelations, to my clients at the time. And it was a major revelation for them, too. Right? So just in that, like, little reflection, like, oh, gosh, you know, your photo just doesn't represent who you are at all. I can barely see who you are in that photo. It was just, it created so much awareness for me. So the ability to support a client in creating awareness stems directly from your ability to be a masterful listener. You can't create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client. That's why, you know, we look at listening first, right? You can't create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client. You also can't support your clients in creating awareness if you're operating with unchecked filters, right? If you've got your unchecked filters going, then you're actually, like we've been looking at, you're actually not listening correctly, right? Or you're not hearing the truth. And if you're not hearing the truth, you, as the coach, there's no way that you can create awareness around the truth, right? So some examples of this, you know, if you're hearing your client, you know, this happens in the work that I do a lot, clients talking about rates and, you know, I don't know what to do with my rates and my rates this and my rates that, you know, should they be higher, should they be lower, you know, all this stuff. Well, if I'm listening with an unchecked filter and my money story is like fear of rates that are too high, if I have that fear, you know, I've got my value stuff on as the coach and it's not checked, then I may not be able as the coach to hear that this client, you know, what's right for this client is actually for them to raise their rates. And so there's no way that I could create awareness around it, right? Or if I am in a conversation with another client and she's telling me, like, she has 20 things on her to-do list for the week and there's so much work and she's working and she's working and she's working. Well, if I come in with an unchecked filter of, you know, if you don't work hard, then you're lazy, then obviously I'm never going to be able to catch a truth for her, which is that she's actually overworking. And if I don't catch that truth, there's no way that I can create that awareness for that client. So my coaching philosophy and approach with my clients is that I want to create an environment where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we even move onto the strategizing part of the session or the strategizing part of the coaching journey. So hopefully that makes sense. What I mean is if I'm working with a client on building her business, which I often do, before we even get to, okay, what's the marketing plan? What are the offerings? You know, how are you setting up your, you know, all of these things. Before we get to the strategizing, for me, I want to first create an environment where my client is as aware as possible of her desires, of her fears, of her strengths, of her gaps, her weaknesses, you know, all of that. Because the more aware that she can be, the more aware that we both can be together, then the more powerful the actual strategizing, the creating the plan, the creating the actions, the creating the solution, the more powerful all of that is going to be. So I am always more than happy to hang out in the creating awareness. I don't want to rush that part of the process because if I do, I know that the strategizing isn't going to be as effective or as powerful as it could be. Because when you don't help create awareness, then there's just too much that can be in your client's blind spot. Too much that can create resistance or false intuition about next steps. So this creating awareness piece is a really, really, really important part of the process. Now, there are a number of ways that you can create awareness as a coach. I'm going to quickly list them now, just so I can lay out all of the ways, and then we're going to go deep into them. So there's a number of ways that you can create awareness as a coach. The first is through questioning, right? Through your questioning skills, questions that are going to illuminate the truth. And in the new year, we're going to be doing a full module on questioning and really so much of what we're going to be doing, second part of the program when we look at fear and resistance and self-sabotage, all of that. It's all, you know, has so much to do with questioning. So we'll get to all of that. The second way that as a coach you can create awareness is by reflecting what I call reflecting the truth. We're going to be spending the bulk of our time today looking at that skill. Reflecting the truth. Another way that you can create awareness is through personal anecdote, by telling personal stories. And we're going to take a little bit of a look at that today as well. The next way that you can create awareness is through the skill and the art of acknowledging. Acknowledging is kind of a subset of reflecting the truth, acknowledging and celebrating. And on our next call, right after the new year, we'll spend that whole entire call looking at acknowledging and celebrating. And then finally, the last way that you can create awareness is by using myth and metaphor. We'll get to that in level two for those of you that are in level two. So for today, we're going to really focus on reflecting the truth and on personal anecdotes. Now, here's what I want you to know before we go into it, is that 75 to 80% of the time, at least 75 to 80% of the time, you want to create awareness by asking really good questions. You want to do it through questioning skills. In many cases, questioning is the preferable way to create awareness. Because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own, when they find it themselves, when they can answer it themselves without being told, it can often make a deeper impression and impact and can often be taken in more deeply than if they're just simply told what this awareness is. Oftentimes, the client can own the awareness more if they say it first themselves. And for anyone that has children or has observed children, we know that this is so often true, right? There's such a difference between me telling my kids to put a coat on when it's cold outside, if I tell them to put a coat on when it's cold outside, maybe they'll think that's true, you know, that it's too cold. But there's such a difference between that versus them figuring it out on their own because they froze their butts off one day. They didn't bring a jacket, and then it's like they hit the answer themselves, right? So you often want to go with questioning in order to create awareness first. But that being said, sometimes the piece of awareness that wants to be created is just so deep in your client's blind spot that questioning alone just isn't going to do the trick. They're not going to see it. Or sometimes the awareness is something that you can really see, you really know, but your client doesn't know it yet because they don't have the experience that you do. This is your expertise. You know, you kind of know how things work. And then yet other times, you'll simply feel intuitively, you'll just know intuitively that hearing the truth directly and clearly from you is what's going to make the most impact. Not the questioning, but just hearing it from you. You'll know intuitively that it's going to make the most impact. So again, you don't want to use straight up reflecting the truth as a default. Again, really 75 to 80% of the time, you're going to want to use questioning. But every now and again, in my opinion, the reflecting the truth is what's necessary. When I say reflecting the truth, what I mean is literally when you straight up share with your client what you're seeing or sensing. Now, just so you know, there are some coaches and coach trainers out there that will say to never, ever, ever, ever just reflect the truth. That there is no situation where you want to just straight up share with your client what you're seeing and sensing. And those coaches and coach trainers are ones that really, adhere to it has to be a self-discovery. If it's not a self-discovery, then it doesn't count, and it's not under the umbrella of coaching. That's not my opinion. I do think that there are moments where, and I've seen it happen over and over and over again through the years in my own coaching, where reflecting the truth, where straight up sharing what you're seeing or sensing is actually so incredibly powerful, way more powerful than questioning. Or again, it's necessary because the questioning is just too far into the blind spot or not in the person, the client's expertise for them to be able to see. So I wanted to make sure that I shared that some coaches will tell you not to reflect the truth. I want you to have all of the information so you can decide for yourself if this is a skill that, you know, a tool that you really want to use for yourself in your coaching. So as I said, reflecting the truth, again, it's when you share with your client exactly what you're seeing or sensing. You don't beat around the bush, and you share with them up front. What you share with them may be based on them and who they are and what you're hearing about them. Or as I said, it might be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular expertise or your life experience. So let me give you some examples of what I mean here to make it even more real. So here's some examples of when you might want to reflect the truth, right? If you're hearing, for example, that your client has never really forgiven her partner for something, whatever it is, but she's not aware of that. She thinks she's actually forgiven her partner, but she doesn't understand why she keeps on getting angry at her, mad at her, you know, upset, whatever it is. But you can see through what she's sharing that she's actually never really forgiven her partner, right? You want to help create awareness around that. That might be something that you reflect back to her. Or maybe you have a client who, you know, for months now is saying to you that she really wants to lose 10 pounds, but from everything that you're hearing from her, you're actually not sure that she wants to lose 10 pounds. It sounds like that's what her mom might want, but not what she wants, right? So that's something that's in her blind spot, right? She thinks she wants to lose the 10 pounds, but actually she may not desire that. So there's really nowhere, you can't go into any strategizing around losing the 10 pounds if this thing is in her blind spot. So as the coach, you want to create awareness there. That might be an opportunity to reflect the truth if you decide that the questioning isn't the road to go down, or you've gone down the questioning and the client just can't see it, right? Or another example is if it sounds like every time you're listening to your client and you really hear, and this might happen, by the way, in one session or over the course of a couple sessions that you hear something like this. It sounds like every time that your client accomplishes something, she then does and goes something that's really just so self-sabotaging. But she doesn't see it. She's not able to see that actually the self-sabotage always comes directly after an accomplishment, right? So that's something that you want to create awareness around, something that you might want to reflect the truth back to her. And then there are other things that you might see, again, that have to do with your expertise, right? Something that your client, even though he or she knows him or herself in their situation so well, they just may not have this piece of information. So, you know, for example, something that comes up in my world a lot is a client may want to raise their rates, but if they haven't been willing to do the work on raising their sales call skills, then it's going to be really hard for them to raise their rates and make the sale, right? So that's an awareness, that's a truth that even though it can sometimes be hard to share, I'm going to want to share with my clients, right? It's great if you want to raise your rates, but we need to really look at your sales skills so that you can support the raising of your rates. Or maybe you have a client and they're sharing with you, you know, what they've done to prepare for a presentation, and you just know from your experience and your expertise that the presentation needs more work. They don't know it, maybe because they haven't done it before, right? So again, that's another moment to reflect the truth. So as you can hopefully see from these examples, sometimes the truth that's asking to be reflected isn't necessarily an easy one for your client to hear. It's not easy for them to hear. So there are a couple of different ways that human beings respond to being presented with the truth, especially with a truth that is maybe hard to hear. So one way is that they get it, they hear it, they understand it immediately, and you know, they have a breakthrough awareness. They're able to integrate it, right? Some people can just hear it, even if it's hard to hear, they get it, they integrate it. In other situations, someone might hear a truth and they get angry, or they get defensive, or they may go into denial about it. For other people, their response to being presented with a harder truth is maybe they go into self-judgment, or they go into victimhood, or they feel hopelessness, or maybe for others they just check out, like they check out of the conversation, right? Or they get confused. That's why when you're reflecting the truth, you want to be really clear on how to reflect the truth, which we're going to get to in a little bit on this call. But so that's why you really want to be skilled and cleared on how to reflect the truth so that you have the best chances of your client hearing it and getting it and understanding it and having that breakthrough awareness, integrating it. So we'll get to those mechanics in a little bit. But before we get there, I want to take a little time to look at first the difficulties that a coach might have when they are presented with the opportunity to reflect the truth. Again, the difficulties that you might have when you're presented with this opportunity. Because the truth is that the mechanics of how to reflect the truth are not rocket science. They're pretty simple. And you'll see when we get there, there's a couple of different ways to do it. But it's most often the inner stuff that makes things wonky and then detracts from our masterful delivery of the truth. And the inner stuff, those inner difficulties that can often make things wonky and detract from us really being masterful in delivering the truth, usually revolve around our fears, right? Our fears of hurting our clients, our fears of harming our clients if we were to reflect the truth, our fears of our clients maybe getting angry or upset with us if we reflect this particular truth. These fears, you know, that really are, you know, can come up with clients, but really can come up with anyone in our life. Reflecting the truth, what it really requires is bravery. It requires, like we said before, checking your filters. It requires objectivity. It requires resolve. And it requires love and compassion. If you can have all of those things in place, then you really have a leg up in being able to share the truth, to reflect the truth, and have your client be more ready and able to hear it, to accept it, to take it in, to have a breakthrough with it. Reflecting the truth also requires for you as the coach to be comfortable holding space for someone who may not feel comfortable in that moment? I'm going to say that again because this is really important. Being able to masterfully reflect the truth requires you as the coach to be comfortable holding space for someone who may not be feeling very comfortable in that moment. Because not always, and actually not even really most of the time, but sometimes the confrontation with a truth can make a client temporarily feel uncomfortable inside of themselves. As I said before, can make them temporarily feel judgmental of themselves, can make them temporarily feel regret or feel sad. You as the coach must be willing to sit in the shadows with them, to hold space for them, to not feel like you want to run away from the discomfort. You as the coach needs to be willing to lovingly be with it and with your client with full presence. When you can do that, then even if the client is uncomfortable with the awareness that is being created, they can know that they can be held in this truth, that they're seen and heard and loved in this truth by you, that they're cherished and celebrated in this truth by you. That's what helps move them towards breakthrough, towards integration. So I want to take a little time for us to do a little bit of looking at some of these inner pieces, because really, as I said, the inner pieces are like more than half of the skill here in being able to reflect the truth. So I'm going to ask some questions. We will have some time for journaling. And here's what I want to say before we go into them. Some of the questions that I ask you, they might be on issues or topics. For some of you, this will be totally new. For others, this might be on topics that you've worked through inside of yourself before, that you've looked at inside of yourself before. If you have, this is still applicable and appropriate for you. I want to invite you to see where your next level of growth around these questions are, right? Where is the next place for you to grow here around these pieces? Okay. So here's the first question. I'm going to give you a minute or two. What fears come up for you when you consider sharing the truth as you see it with others? What fears come up for you when you consider sharing the truth as you see it with others? I'll give you another couple moments on that one. Next question, similar but a little bit different. What fears come up for you when you consider sharing maybe edgy opinions with others? So, you know, for example, like how this would come up for me in coaching, sharing some edgy opinions with clients is, you know, a lot of times I have to do some truth speaking about all the crazy marketing hype these days, all of the like funnel insanity and do the latest, greatest marketing, you know, craziness. And so many clients like fall into that and then they end up failing. And, you know, so a lot of the, some of the truth telling or reflecting the truth, you know, this is an expertise thing, right? Is bringing people back to grassroots and guerrilla marketing and seeing that things can actually be simple. They don't have to buy into the crazy marketing hypes. Or, you know, for me, another one is, you know, some clients come in and they think that the only way for their business to grow is if they, you know, if they have bring on high-end clients. You know, it's a big buzzword in the industry, right, high-end. And for some people, that is the right pathway for sure, without a doubt. But sometimes I have to do some reflecting the truth for people, and that's not the only way, right? So what fears come up for you when you consider sharing edgy or controversial, you know, opinions or truths with your clients? If that's something that you're going to do. Again, as I said earlier, there's some coaches that will never share those kinds of opinions, and that's okay too. All right, next question. How often was the truth lovingly and honestly named in your family when you were growing up? How often was the truth lovingly and honestly named in your family when you were growing up? How was the truth shared in your family growing up? And was the way it was shared supportive or not supportive? And take a few moments with that. How was the truth shared when you were growing up in your family? Was the way it was shared supportive or not supportive? Okay, next question. We've still got a couple more. How do you take in, receive, and respond to feedback or hard truths that others share with you? How do you take that in? Do you respond? Do you react? How do you take in, receive, and receive feedback or hard truths that others share with you? Take a moment and get clear for yourself what that process is usually like for you. Think about the different kinds of responses that I shared earlier, anger or self-judgment or hopelessness or victimhood, or, you know, just maybe taking it in and it all being good, right? So what is that process like for you? Next question. How do your family members or the people close to you take in, receive, and respond to feedback or hard truths? How do the people that are close to you take in and receive feedback or hard truths? Next question. There's three more. What comes up for you when you consider holding space for someone who's feeling uncomfortable? What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who's feeling uncomfortable in that moment? Does that feel exciting to you, like you want to jump into it? Or do you notice that, you don't really feel good about holding space for someone if they're uncomfortable, if they're in pain, if they're upset or angry, if they're sad? Next question, I want to focus for this next question on defensiveness and what your relationship to defensiveness is. So, how defensive or not defensive do you get when you're being confronted with the truth? So, I'll give you an example from my own life here. I am someone who, like, in real life, for appointments or meeting people for dinner or that kind of thing, I'm late. And for years, I would show up late, and some people, friends, whatever, never for work, just really like outside of work. But for years, I'd show up late, and if someone were to call me out on it and be like, God, I've been waiting here for 10 minutes, you're late again, the way I responded to that would be to go straight into my defensive, right? Oh, but there was so much traffic, but I just, like, a call went over with a client, blah, 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 right? Like, all that stuff, total defensiveness. And it really took years before I even was aware of, like, how defensive I would be. And then it took some work to get to the place of, instead of, like, all of the reasons, coming up with all the reasons and excuses and then getting annoyed with the person that was telling me I was late because they should just be okay with it. It wasn't so late. It was only 7 minutes late, all that stuff, to just get to this point of being able to take it in, right? Like, to determine if the feedback was true or not first, for sure, but to be like, yeah, she's right. I was late, and that caused, an annoyance for her. And I want to shift that. That's something I want to work on. So what's your relationship to getting defensive when you're confronted with truth? All right, I've got one more question, but actually before I ask it, I want to pause here because I have a sense a lot has come up, a lot of new awareness and things that you're seeing about yourself and, you know, the inner work required for reflecting the truth. I'd love to hear some shares. So star two, what are you seeing for yourself? Is a Simball? Simball, is that you? Maybe it's not. 488.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi.
I had put myself on mute. So I love these questions. It's like seven layers deep. And something that I'm really, I love the connection to the family, and something that's consistently coming up for me in my response is that it really depends on how it's delivered and the context.
Yeah.
So the context of the relationship with the person, and like I get defensive if someone like, you know, doesn't really know me. And also because I know in myself that I can be really blunt. And one of the, yeah, the whole, like, it's not what you say, but how you say it is coming up for me a lot here. And so it harkens back to the container and the trust and the love that's there and the relationship with the client or with anyone else.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, and it's so true what you're saying. It's the delivery and I'm glad you're bringing this up. This is something I should have said myself. It's so much about the container, right? There's no way to really effectively, well, I shouldn't say there's no way, but the stronger the container, the easier it is to effectively deliver the truth in a way that's going to feel loving and with compassion and where there's going to be trust involved in all sides. So glad you're bringing that forward. Beautiful. Christine.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Oh, boy. So I just want to start by saying that I don't want to say that it's weird because it isn't, but every time we have one of these calls, I get this feeling in my body, like this surge of energy that just flows through me where I'm feeling like, oh, shit, this is heavy. And I'm hoping that I'm not the only one that feels that way, and I don't think that I am, but I just wanted to put that out there, because right now, just speaking, I could just feel my voice is quivering, and it's just like a knot in my throat with this. But I did want to say what I'm recognizing for myself is that I tend to get defensive, and depending on the situation, I can internalize the defensive part or I can react to it right away. And with my family, you had me really reflecting on that as well, because it took me back to my mother, how she was really very, very reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was even more so. So I'm here to break the cycle.
Yeah, I really, really, I hear that. And
yeah.
So I hear how important this is for you personally. And I'm also wondering, like, based on what you just shared, how do you sense that shows up when you're coaching? How does that impact your coaching?
I think in the past it has impacted my coaching to the point where, like, I feel really afraid to create awareness for my clients because I'm afraid that I may say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I may offend them, and I don't want to offend, piss anyone off. And my biggest struggle has been, you know, how to say the right thing, because I really genuinely care, not only about my clients, but just human beings as a whole. And I never have the intention of being offensive. You know, I don't want to offend anyone, but I always do want to create that awareness, especially. especially for my clients, but I just don't know the questions, the right things to say.
Yeah, so we'll get to the how. For this moment, what I think is so important is that you know when that fear rises up inside of you, it's actually not so much about the client in front of you in that moment. It's just what you know from your mom and your grandmother.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
That lands?
Yeah, because, you know, those were two women who could just say whatever they wanted to say and not really care about how the other person, you know, received it. They just, you know, let it rip and kept it going.
Yeah. So that's not how you're going to do it.
No.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you can see all of this. This feels big.
Yeah.
Good. Leah.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, I can, yeah.
So I had a couple interesting things come up as well. For me, I really realized that how I deliver and also receive things really depends on what I call emotional space. So if I'm in a place where I'm clear, so I'm not carrying baggage into the situation, whether it's in the relationship or from the day. And I think it has to do with, like, both energetics as well as, like, being ready for the conversation. So I've had some amazing, difficult conversations with friends, and I can think back to that, and that's because I was super clear and, like, could feel the energetic of literally holding space for them to bring up their shadow stuff and for me to not judge it versus, you know, just like Christina saying, like being triggered by my mom about any given thing. I have a much harder time staying clear in those conversations to not be reactive. The other thing that was interesting was talking about sharing edgy opinions. For me, it's a lot about bringing awareness to the state of the world at a much deeper level. So I think some of those conversations come at the reaction I had to that from a fear perspective was feeling alienated and abandoned, but also being a fear of not being seen. So I thought that was kind of interesting around all of that.
Yeah, all of this is so good. And, of course, you know, I'm sure you're already thinking about, like, how this shows up or doesn't show up or impacts with your clients and in coaching. And there's so much in what you just said, but I want to pull out two pieces that I think are just so important for you and for everyone. The first is in order to be able to effectively reflect the truth or really do any kind of coaching, we want to go into the conversation feeling ready, right? Like energetically ready, preparing, you know, for it. Doesn't have to mean big preparations, but we want to feel balanced and even keeled and open. And then the other piece that you said was that, like, one of the factors when you're able to deliver the truth well is that there's no judgment whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such an important factor in being able, an inner peace on our part, the part of the coach and being able to do it, is that it's not delivered with judgment or any kind of, like, critical feelings, right? It's just delivered as the truth. And you're able, again, to, like, hold your client in that truth and love them in it. So I'm so glad you're bringing all of that forward.
Thank you.
Tanya.
Hello.
Hi. Tanya? We were able to hear you, and then I think you put yourself on mute. I had taken you off mute. There you are.
You can hear me? Okay, I didn't put myself on mute, but it might be my connection. But I was really into the last answer, well, the last share, and I was like, yeah, the whole delivering truth with no judgment at all. I think that's that covers my fear of sharing my truth, because I feel like I need to check and recheck my truth sometimes, like to make sure I'm coming from a clear space. But I also think that has to do with my family history. I discovered when I studied my master's in counseling psychology, that most of us counselors in my classroom, we were the ones who would share the truth in our family, and it was like it put in denial. Like it was just kind of like the black sheep in our family. And I actually think that happens a lot with like healer, like the wounded healer or counselors in general. So I'm noticing how much that's still present for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're seeing it and willing to take another look at it, right? Because you could have easily been like, been there, done that, you know? But the fact that you're willing to like see that there's still some stuff in there for me, my sense is that it's really ready to kind of open up for you. Clear out. So glad that you're bringing that forward.
Thank you.
All right. These shares are so juicy. I'm going to take just a few more because they're so great. Tara. I took you off mute.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi. Awesome. Hi.
Hi.
So similar awareness to what was just said, I think that what comes up for me is having grown up in that I was in an alcoholic family system and I was the one naming the truth, and it was like denied in the environment. So it's like sometimes it feels hard for me. Interestingly, it didn't stop me. I often was the one who was like in any group environment naming the shadow that I felt like needed to be named. I think in individual relationships, like sometimes in coaching or whatever, you know, what can come up is more like, am I trusting that this is a truth just because it wasn't, like you said, like mirrored, you know, and it wasn't a healthy family system where they were like, oh, thank you for bringing forward that.
Right. So this is such great awareness, because when you're talking to a client and you're hearing a truth and you want to share it and then all of a sudden you start doubting it, you can come back to this awareness, right? Like, is there really reason to doubt here, or is this just because of the way that I've been truth-telling in my family, you know, since I was little, but it wasn't, it was denied. And that can help you really make some distinctions there. And, you know, if it's right to share the truth, hopefully allow you to do it with more confidence and courage and openness.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, beautiful. Gwen.
Yes, am I on mute? No, I'm
yep,
not.
We can hear you.
Okay, great. So what I was noticing is truth-telling is much safer for me in the coaching container than it is, like, out in the world. And I think when I was young, I wanted, like, I craved my parents, I guess, to, like, tell me the truth, like give me some honest reflection. And I didn't get a lot of that. And what gets in my way is I have had moments in my life, both in coaching and just out in life, where I have spoken the truth in a way that there wasn't the container. I didn't do the work to build the container first. So I didn't end all with saying that, and that, but the container really matters.
Yeah. Good. I'm so glad that you can, you know, see all of that. Good.
Not sure how I receive. That's another piece. I'm like, oh, I don't actually know how I receive truth-telling. So a good place for further looking.
Yeah, that would be a great, that would be a great journaling question. You know, the reason why I asked that question for all of us is because, like, the way that we receive it is likely, if we've got fears about how our clients are going to receive it, it's probably based a little bit on how we receive it, So it's mm-hmm. good to do some, a little bit, create awareness for yourself there. Again, this is almost like what we're doing here is checking filters, right? So that you can mm-hmm. have unchecked filters when you go to do this work with your clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great. I'm going to take just the next hand up and then we'll continue on. Eleanor.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey. So for me, the biggest thing and my biggest challenge with sharing the truth is not to push people away.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like if I'll share it, they will maybe not want to hear it, or they'll walk away, or they're not going to come back, or... And until I answered those questions, I didn't even realize, but in my family, or what I used to is, there wasn't a lot of truth sharing, and when it was usually in the moment of, like, when people were upset or yelling at each other, and then everything came out. And it was always hurtful, and it made people walk away. Not forever, but it was not a good building experience. It created the opposite. So I think it made me kind of almost hide my truth and, like, even hold, like, opinions, like my political opinions, because I didn't want to hurt anybody. So I didn't even think what it was. I kind of didn't even look into my truth many times because I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't want to push anybody away. And that's kind of my experience with truth sharing.
Yeah, that's great, right? So this is such a great awareness, again, because you want to be thinking about this as it comes up with clients. There's a moment that you want to reflect the truth, but you start getting scared. You know, you want to have awareness of this.
Thank you.
Yeah, good, good. Great. So that's really, you know, the next question for everyone is, so what, you know, just based on everything that you're learning and seeing from all of this so far, how is that impacting your ability to really lovingly and with compassion and with courage to reflect the truth with your clients? So now here's the other, let's talk about how to reflect the truth. I want to make sure we get to that. So, so how do you actually reflect the truth? First of all, here's the question that you want to keep top of mind. It might even be a question you want to keep, like, by, you know, wherever you do your sessions, to actually just write it down on a piece of paper for a little bit. And here's the question. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their results? It's kind of a long-winded question. If you can make it shorter for yourself, that's great, but I'll share it again. What is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to their growth or their results? Right, so that's one thing you want to keep top of mind. Next thing, again, you always want to first ask enough questions to see if they can come to the awareness on their own, like we said earlier. Next thing is you want to check in with your inner wisdom on whether or not your client is ready for the truth to be reflected. You want to check in with your inner wisdom on whether or not the client is ready for this truth to be reflected. Now, as I was putting together the curriculum, I was like, okay, well, let me give them a checklist so that you know, if the client is ready or not. But the truth is, I couldn't come up with a checklist because this isn't a perfect science. Right? This has so much to do with your sensing into their energy, with you knowing if they have a history of being defensive, with you checking in with what is their mood on that particular day, or if you knowing the topic you're talking about with them is a hot button topic or not, with you, you know, really knowing like exactly how far, you know, they're willing to go to their edges. You know, it has to do, like, Inbal and Gwen were saying about the container, you know, has a container been established yet? Is the container strong enough? So you want to check in on whether or not the client is ready. Next piece is you want to be willing to be wrong with the truth that you're reflecting. You want to be willing to be wrong, because whenever we reflect a truth, and this I believe this, and I think this is a really important coaching principle that a lot of people bypass, at the end of the day, our client always knows best about what is best for them or what is right for them. So I never, ever, ever reflect a truth as if it were the truth with a capital T. I always reflect a truth as if I am postulating an idea for my client to consider. I'll tell you in a minute exactly how I do that. But just two other things before we get to the actual step one, step two, step three. So next thing is you want to, you know, when you're about to reflect a truth, you want to reconnect to your love for your client and to the trust that they are whole and complete exactly as they are, right? Like Leo was sharing earlier, no judgment, no judgment at all. And then finally, you want to check yourself to make sure that you're approaching with an equal playing field. If the playing field is skewed to where you are somehow feeling like your client is better than you, then you're not going to have the confidence and the courage to share the truth that you're seeing. If you're approaching where the field is skewed to where you think that you are better than your client or no more than your client, then you run the risk of guruing them, right? And if you're participating in this training, my guess is that you don't want to be the guru, right? You don't want to guru your clients. Recently, I was at an event with leaders in the transformational industry, and we were in little masterminding pods, and each person had an opportunity to go and like to share an issue that they were having a block with and get masterminding from the group. And I observed that a number of people, you know, big coaches in the industry, when they went to give feedback to the person who, you know, was asking for help, they were just giving them advice. They were just like, this is the truth, right, with a capital T. This, you need to know that your wounded child, right, it's never, again, it's never a truth with a capital T. Okay, so then what are the actual mechanics? So there's three ways. You've got three different kind of options or pathways for reflecting the truth. So here's way number one. Number one, you always want to ask for permission first, right? So ask for permission. And the way that I often ask for permission when I want to reflect the truth is that I'll say something like this. This is something I'm noticing. Oh, sorry. I'll say there's something I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you may or may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? Right? So I'm asking permission. I'm seeing something here that I'm not sure you're seeing. are you open to me sharing that with you? And chances are you'll get the permission, yes, to go along. So then step two, again, it goes back to the willing to be wrong and the not guruing. So then I'll often say, I may not be getting this correct, and I trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know, but I've noticed that, right, and then I reflect the truth. I've noticed that you tend to self-sabotage every time you have a success, or I've noticed that you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, you lose all of your confidence, right? Whatever the truth is. So I may not be getting this correct, and I trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know, but I've noticed X. And then here's the magic phrase. Am I getting that right? Am I getting that right? So by following this sequence of asking permission and then of being willing to be wrong, not guruing, you know, and asking if you're getting it right, what is it doing? Well, number one, like I said, it's creating an equal playing field, which is really needed for anyone to be able to really hear the truth. It's also creating space, right? You're giving your client permission to be in, your client is actually giving him or herself permission to be in a space of being, having the truth reflected to him and her. By asking permission, being willing to get it wrong, asking if you're getting it right, it also helps you reconnect to your compassion and love and that place of non-judgment with your client. So that's one way. I want to just share the other two ways. The next way is through personal anecdote. So what is personal anecdote? It's essentially, you know, a story from your own life or your own experience where you've really learned something that mirrors what you're seeing happening for your client, right? And if you're going to tell a personal anecdote, you want to make sure of a couple things. Number one, you want to make sure that you've fully worked through the anecdote so that you don't have any triggers or confusion or lack of clarity in your anecdote. Number two, you want to make sure that you can share the anecdote where you really like take out any unnecessary details and you really structure the story so that the client can see his or her story or, you know, possibility for learning mirrored in it. Sharing a personal anecdote to help reflect the truth can be so powerful when it's done correctly. It can create such a zing of awareness. But again, and it's not that hard. It's not hard to do at all. But just again, you want to make sure that you've fully worked through it yourself, that you're clear on it, and that you're setting it up without any extra details to get off track, so that the learning can really be gleaned. So even when I share personal anecdotes, I still ask for permission first. I'll say something like, your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. I think it would be a really helpful story for you, really beneficial learning. Can I share it with you? Right? So I like to ask that permission for all the reasons, you know, why we stated before, but also because sometimes if you just share a personal story with a client without asking permission first, it can be perceived as wasting the client's session time. You don't want that. You know, you want them to be wanting to receive the story. So ask for permission, tell the story, And then from there, I'll say, so why am I sharing this with you? How might this relate to your situation? Or if it does, if you don't think it relates to your situation, let me know. I might be off here, right? So I'm asking the question to create awareness. How does this relate to your situation? Or what are you seeing for yourself here? Or how can you apply this to your situation? But again, I'm also leaving open I have the willingness to be wrong, right? It might not relate to your situation. Let me know if I'm off here. And then finally, the third way that you can reflect the truth, this is really about half reflecting the truth, half questioning. We'll get much more into this when we look at questioning, but I just wanted to, you know, give this to you, is you can introduce language into your questions that the client hasn't yet used. As a way of creating awareness, you can introduce language into your questioning that the client hasn't yet used, right? So here is an example. Let's say you are listening to a client and she's telling you she's working all the time. Ugh, and I have this to do, I have that to do, but I don't want to work all the time, but I work anyway, and it's, you know, and this is happening in my marriage because I'm overworking, right? She's telling you all of that. So one way to reflect the truth there is you could ask this question. So when did you become addicted to working? Right? I'm just asking a question, but I'm introducing this concept of you're addicted to your work. I'm creating awareness through that question. Or maybe another question I would ask to reflect the truth would be, so when did you decide that you were going to risk everything in your life, even your health, for your work? When did you decide that you were going to risk everything, right? So I'm inserting a phrase there that the client hasn't used yet. You're risking everything in your life. I'm reflecting a truth. I'm creating an awareness. Okay. So we are almost at the end of our call. I want to give you homework, and then hopefully we'll have a couple minutes for some questions and takeaways. So first of all, we're not back on the line again for 3 weeks, January 9th, where we'll be looking at acknowledging and celebrating, which is also part of creating awareness. So just I'm also going to be off Facebook for about 10 days or so, 10, 12 days during that time. So just want to wish all of you wonderful. Hopefully you're all taking time off in one way or another. You'll be getting a worksheet to help you go deeper with all of this, with some questions. And as I was sharing today, I was thinking maybe we'll create a resource sheet, too, with these three ways so that you have that all written out. And then if you're doing a buddy call, the homework is to reflect the truth at least once during the session. Right? Find one place to reflect the truth using one of the three ways that I shared, either the straight-up telling or the personal anecdote or inserting new language into a question, right? So you want to remember the question that you want to keep top of mind for that buddy call is, what is my client not seeing, accepting, or fully embracing that would create a shortcut to her growth or her results? All right, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I'd love to hear if there are any questions before we wrap for today, or I'd love to hear a takeaway, what you're seeing, hearing, taking for yourself, a new learning, or anything that you want to ask me. Okay, let's see. I think this is Janie. Is that you, Janie? 1382 are the last four numbers.
Sorry, yes, it is me. I was on mute.
Hi.
Okay. Hi. So I do have a question about when you get into something deep kind of right away with a client, so you know, I'm new at doing this and I have somebody that I'm working with. And I'm wondering, do you check on them like if you're going to see them every week, like what is your process in the beginning if deep stuff gets touched on right away and you can feel that it's also big for them?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So whether it's right away or even if it's a fully established relationship and container, if there's a really, you know, something big, like a really big breakthrough or a really big truth or, you know, anything, I will check in, you know, a day or two after the session. I'll shoot the client an email and I'll just let them know, you know, I've been thinking so much about you. It was such a big session. You did such great work. And I just wanted to check in and see how you were doing, what's been moving through you, what's resonating for you, what have you been learning? So I will do a check-in.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, great question. It's a way of really, you know, tightening the container and following up on the learning. Okay, great.
Okay, thank you for permission for that.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. I think this is Karen. Is this Karen, 9138?
Actually, it's Teresa.
Teresa, hi.
Hi.
I know that by now. Hi.
So I do have a, first of all, I love how you're confirming some of the things that I've been doing. And I had a situation with a client that, I got permission, and I reflected, I got permission to ask a question first because I noticed that there was some resistance. And in the questioning then, and he was like, he met me with resistance even with the question. And I just kind of stepped back and I guess I kind of want some feedback on this because I just checked in and I made sure that I remember that I was whole and complete and he was whole and complete. And then I said, is it okay if I go back to one of our agreements? And he said, sure. And I said, one of our agreements, I said, if I recall correctly, one of our agreements was that I had permission to share with you if I noticed resistance. I said, do I still have that permission with you? And I've never really had to do that with anybody before, like just ask that question again in the moment.
Yeah.
Because everything I was bringing up, there was resistance, resistance, resistance. But it kind of took him aback, and he said, well, yes, because I want to get well. And so I was able to reflect at that point what I was seeing, and he said, well, I just don't see it that way. And I just was kind of dumbfounded at that point. And I said, well, it may not be correct, and I'm just inviting you to try something else on. And so I just like your thoughts on.
Yeah, it's such a good sense.
I found myself being, continuing to have step back and breathe. Because like mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to be in defense mode myself. But it's almost like I was buying into his resistance, like energetically. It was push, 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 push.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just would, I don't, like I said, I don't commonly get drawn into that. But I found myself in that situation, you know, just kept stepping back. Yeah. And this was in person.
Yeah. So this is so great. So first of all, I love that you went back to the agreement. It's so brilliant, right? I mean, because that's an agreement that was already established. And you would think that would be enough. And my guess is like in many other cases it would be. In this situation, the fact that, you know, he still didn't see it. So there's a couple of things that I would have done at that point. So first is just recentered and grounded myself, which I know you're really good at doing, and you know you're doing. And then I just would have reminded myself to not be attached to outcome in the situation, to just remain open and curious.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, again, it depends on the relationship and also, you know, what was being shared and what the resistance was. But from there, I probably would have said something like this. I would have said, I completely honor that you're not seeing it, and you know best what is going on with you, so I will trust that. At the same time, I want to share with you that my sense is that there, and again, here's the language that I don't know exactly for you because it depends on the situation, right? But at the same time, I want to share with you that my sense is that there's something different about your energy in this conversation than usual. What's your sense then of what that is?
That's a good question. Thank you.
So what are you seeing in what I just shared with you? What's clicking for you?
I think just at, you know, I did honor where he was at. And mm-hmm. I said I honor and respect that you're not seeing this way. And what I did say is I'm committed to supporting you at whatever is willing to be explored. And you know what's willing and needed to be explored more than I do because you live in your body. That's how I put it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think just adding a question of like, what are you seeing? You know, first stating the truth that you're seeing, it feels to me like, you know, the energies, however you want to say it from before, what do you sense is going on here, right? That might possibly open up some ideas
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do think, you know, even better questions are going to be required in this situation.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, I know, I feel a lot of fear in his body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, but to call that out right now would be way too much.
Yeah, it sounds
that
like.
That goes back to trusting the inner wisdom.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. So calling it out would be too much, but asking some questions around it, you might be able to get somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
Good.